Thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be here. I just can't tell you how deeply I appreciate the invitation and appreciate Erin's beautiful introduction very much. We have her mother and her grandmother here today, both of them wonderful intercessors and people who know and love God and who spend time with God. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to help me, that all flesh and self and any hindrance might be removed. I don't want to hinder God in this time. Before I pray, I have felt in a very deep way, we're living in different days, and you young people know that. And God is seeking to draw nigh to you, each one of you, each student, each faculty member, each staff member, in a whole new way. There is an unfolding of the life of God in us if we will cooperate with Him. And I felt it very deeply when I was here on Wednesday. I sense it again today. There are deep issues in each heart. And I want to urge you, I want to call back to you and say to you, do not let the enemy cause you to miss out on the greatest thing in this life. And I want to tell you what it is. It is knowing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a very close friendship. And I want to tell you from a vantage point of nearly 74 years of age, if you miss that, you have missed everything. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how big your family name is. I don't care what your lineage is. If you miss the relationship with Him, you have missed everything. Lord, I cry out to you, Jesus, come. I sense you are seeking to do something very major in these days of winter and headed into spring. I ask that I may decrease, Lord, that I may decrease, that you might increase. I ask that I might be hidden behind the cross. I ask that you speak through me. It doesn't matter what I think, but it matters what you think. We ask you to speak. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come. We humble ourselves in your presence, and we give you full right away. And we pray this in faith believing, and with great thanksgiving, and all the people said, amen. Now, I want to talk to you about something that is so tremendous. I apologize for my poor vocabulary. But you know, one of the things that is difficult in talking about the Godhead is that experientially knowing Him is greater than any vocabulary, dear friends. In fact, there's not a vocabulary on this earth that can express what it means to have a growing relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I want to apologize to you young people on behalf of the older generation. When I was young, there was great teaching about what was called then the devotional life, which means our life of prayer, our life in the Word of God, our life in learning to listen to God and to hear His voice. As that marvelous verse in Romans 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And tragically, I don't know how this has happened, But we don't talk much about that. And that's a great tragedy because as a young person, you need to know a lot about the devotional life. Because it is a life, it is the open door into the supernatural realm. It is the open door into the heavenly places. And in Ephesians, it says we are made to sit with him in heavenly places, which is transformational. So, I want to talk about the power of private prayer. I was reared in the parsonage. My dad was a Methodist pastor. And, of course, we always live right next door to the church. And I can remember from my earliest childhood hearing the back door of the parsonage open at 5 o'clock every morning. And I knew my daddy had headed over to the church to pray, to seek the face of God, to know God better, to know God in a more transformational way. And I would snuggle down in my bed and I would say, everything's okay because my daddy is going over to talk with God. I thank God for my father. I thank God for my mother who had a vibrant life with God. In the morning, she would pour her heart out to God and just tell him, I'm concerned about this. I want you to do this, that, and the other. In the afternoon, after a short nap, she would awaken, go to her prayer chair, and say, now, Lord, you know what I said to you this morning. I want to hear your response to it. Well, imagine that, asking God to respond to our prayers. And when we would come home from school, first thing I wanted to know was, Mama, what did God say today? Because they talk together. In John 10, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow the stranger. Daily prayer is about learning to know experientially God's being, his personality, his voice. I came home from school one day. My mother had a tremendous sense of humor. I said, Mama, what did God say today? She said, he told me I needed to resign as general manager of the universe. I said, Mama, I didn't know you were the general manager of the universe. She said, well, actually, I'm not. But she said, I have a tendency to be very controlling when I pray. And the Holy Spirit told me today I needed to be more sensitive to saying to God, God, you do whatever will give you the greatest glory. And she said, I intend, with the Holy Spirit's help, to change. So, but you know, as great as my father and my mother were in the life of prayer, I tried to lean on their prayer life, and I did that. I'd be ashamed to tell you how long I did that. But one day the Holy Spirit said to me, I'd call my mother to do some praying that I needed to be doing. And when I put the phone down, the Holy Spirit said, don't you ever call your mother again to do the praying you're supposed to be doing. I said, oh, God, don't take that away from me. I'm too young. And as I say, I won't tell you how old I was. And he said, I'm serious. Don't you ever call her again. So I called her back and I said, Mama, Holy Spirit spoken to me and said, I'm not to call you anymore to do my praying. And my mother said, praise be to Jesus. She said, I've been praying for that to happen because she said, Margaret, how are you going to learn to pray if you keep leaning on Mama? But you know, there's something in us. We want someone else to do the work of prayer and we want to benefit from it. But we are afraid to enter into the prayer life ourselves. And I never called her again to do the praying that I knew I was supposed to do. Now, I realize today that there are two great challenges in private prayer. And no one told me this. I've just bumped into it.
One is that each person in this room is so totally unique. No one's going to relate to God the way you relate to God. I'm telling you, the multiplicity of variety of our Heavenly Father absolutely blows your mind. Billions of stars, and He calls them all by name. And He loves variety. So in a deep sense, humanly speaking, thank God for books, thank God for hearing people speak on prayer, but in a deep sense, humanly speaking, you actually don't have much help from other people because we're all so totally unique. Now that can be frightening, but there's a, don't be too afraid because we've got the greatest answer in the world to that. The other deep issue and challenge is that God is invisible, and we are so used to the concrete. But you know, it's marvelous to me, if we will meet Him daily, actually what begins to happen is, as this heavenly realm begins to come down over us, so to speak, and becomes more real to us, the two things I've just mentioned cease to bother us because we have a spiritual director. We have a spiritual mentor, and that mentor is the precious Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God. And I tell you, you don't need anybody else but Him, because He knows everything about prayer. And I want to read a passage. I think this is absolutely breathtaking. Now, this is speaking of the precious Holy Spirit. It is in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. It's been written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. Now, that's not just in heaven. That's here and now. But God has revealed them unto us by His Holy Spirit. That's one of His offices. When you come to pray daily, if you will let Him lead you, He will begin to reveal the things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except another man? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit. Now listen to this. If you are a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. And we realize there are deepening experiences of consecration which He brings to us. But dear friends, if we will meet with Him daily, we will find experiences that we've never heard anyone speak about. Because of you being totally unique, you will experience things that I won't. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but that spirit which is of God Almighty, that we might know the things that are truly given to us by God. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity Himself, who is the mentor of our prayer life. That is amazing to me, but I want to testify after many, many, many years of daily time. Well, I can just go back to this morning. When I came to Him this morning, you see, His presence, when the Holy Spirit rises up in us, the presence of Jesus comes. You know, in John 14, 23, Jesus says, if you'll walk and obey the love commandments, Father will take up His abode in you, and I will manifest Myself to you. Now, dear friends, God does not have pets. I think I said that the other day. I want to say it again today. He does not have favorites. He does not have pets. It is in how available we are for Him to begin to change us and teach us a deeper receptivity to Him
and begin to take, as my mother used to say, more dominion over us. We just don't have experiences with God and then go on living the way we want to live. So, the precious Holy Spirit is our mentor. I have a deep sense of responsibility, which is good, and yet sometimes it's not real good. And the Holy Spirit today said, "This is not your responsibility this morning, it is mine. Because you have done your part in preparation." What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Lord. You see, it's only by coming daily that we become acquainted. If you were to see some interesting looking person on this campus and you thought, "I'd like to know that person better," what would you do? Well, you would devise ways of meeting that person and of beginning to spend time with that person. Because the only way to become acquainted and to become a friend of that person is to spend time with them. And dear friends, I want to tell you something. Ministry should come biblically, experientially. Ministry actually comes out of knowing Him and ministering to Him, as Ezekiel 44 talks about. And then He will do the ministry. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, "When you pray, enter into your closet, shut the door, talk to me in secret, and I will reward you openly." I want to talk this morning about the tremendous importance of your learning in your prayer time, that if you're trying to control that yourself, you want to be in control of it, you are doomed to failure. The failure will be good because you will learn very stringently that you are not in control. You see, as I understand the Christian life, it is my learning more and more to let go, to yield, to surrender. And my surrender 50 years ago, if I'd been leaning on that this morning, I wouldn't have come. Because, you see, He's teaching me, in fact, He's dealing with me now about a deepening surrender to the extent that my mind, no matter what I'm doing, and my spirit are with Him without a break. And that's what He wants for us. Now you think, "That's too much. I don't want that much of God." Well, actually, the reason we don't want any more of God is because we, until we begin to meet with Him daily, we really don't understand or know Him experientially enough to make any judgments about how much we want Him. So, when you come, and I hope you have a quiet place. I know that's difficult on a college campus. And let me say, too, in every season of your life, there will be something that could keep you from coming to God daily. Now you could say, "Well, I'm carrying so many hours." But when you leave here, it'll be, "Well, I've got family responsibilities," or "I'm in ministry," or whatever. Dear friends, let me tell you, there will always be something. And I want to plead with you this morning that you understand you cannot go on with God. You cannot know Him in a deeper way. He cannot take more dominion over you, which will bring you into who you really are and are trying to become on your own, unless you're spending time. And I want to suggest to you this. When you come daily, the first thing to do is to bow your head and say, "Holy Spirit, now, you know my tendency to take over." Because that's what our flesh wants to do. And I'm pleading with you, Holy Spirit, teach me how to yield to you. See, actually, dear friends, one of the most vital parts of daily prayer is that I learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to help me to yield, to surrender on a deepening level. That has been the most thrilling thing. If I ever write another book, I'd love to write about that. Because, you see, we all have places that are barricaded within us. And it's only as we come day by day and we begin to know Him in a more real way, as He truly is, and we don't have these concepts and prejudices and fears and anxieties about Him taking too much of ourself and leaving us nothing. I want to testify to you today, the only way you will finish this life journey and be who you long to be and want to be and who He wants you to be is by knowing Him better. So when you first come daily, say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be in charge of this. I don't have enough brains to be in charge. And I'm asking you to teach me how to let you lead me. There is the most precious statement, and this is in the book of Romans. And you know it well, where it says in Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. You see, it's in this daily time that I allow the Holy Spirit to begin to teach me, to move on me, to train me, to pick up on His leadings, His guidances. And I remember so vividly, one of the most powerful things that ever happened to me in my daily prayer time happened when I was teaching here at Asbury. I'd been in music, had been in several state universities teaching and several private colleges, and Asbury was the last place I taught piano. And in my private time, I had an hour, because that was the time God gave me to spend with Him before I'd come over to teach. One morning I heard the Holy Spirit say, I got a lot of good piano players, but I need people who are going to go on and on and on in prayer. And I never thought of leaving music. My mother was still alive. She was my mentor. I said, Mama, there's something crazy happening. I think it's God. I believe it's God. But I know 1 John 4:1 says we have to try the spirits to see if they're of God, and that's why I'm calling you. My mother said, you listen to that. Now, my mother and daddy had to sacrifice for me to have some of the finest pianistic training in the world. And my mother says, if He means for you to get out, I want you out. And we tested it for 1 year. I've never regretted it as much as I loved Asbury and loved my colleagues. I've never regretted that because I could pick up on the leading and the guidance of God. Do you see what I'm saying, dear friends? If you're not spending time with God and being trained by Him to hear Him and know His voice, know when it's God and know when it's yourself. I think it's Andrew Murray that says there have been more tragic mistakes made because we just plunge right on. We actually act like we know how to run our life, and we don't know how to run our life. But I want to tell you, the precious indwelling Holy Spirit will guide you if you allow Him to train you. All right, after you've asked the Holy Spirit in your time, you don't feel any concrete guidance. And when we first start doing this, we won't, because we're more sensitized to the world than we are to God. When you think how little time we give God, I tell you what, we ought to be on our face on the floor in this beautiful sanctuary. Now, when we need Him, we want Him like that. In fact, we get peeved if He doesn't show up. And we give Him virtually no time. What a tragedy that is. If no guidance comes at the beginning, and it may not, that's all right. You're just beginning. Reach for your Bible. Because the other helper that we have next to the precious Holy Spirit is the Word of God. When my husband was in Marquee Cancer Center, I spent hundreds of hours. That's all I did was pray the Word of God. And I turned so often to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, where it says, "Stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." In other words, open up the scriptures, dear friends, and begin to pray a passage that you love. Begin to pray out of the Psalms, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it doesn't matter. Pray out loud those scriptures for yourself, for others. That is the most marvelous experience. When you don't know how to pray, turn to the prayers of the scripture and just pray down through those scriptures. I tell you what, that will be life-changing. And I hope there's not one person in this sanctuary that is not praying for others. You see, dear friends, we're so self-possessed. We're so full of self-love and self-will, and we want our own way. I tell you that experientially. What God has to do on us. I hope you are praying for others because it gets your mind off yourself. And as we intercede for others and praying the scripture, I do a lot of scriptural praying for others. When we don't know really how to pray for them, the Holy Spirit has said to me many times, He said, "Well, what book have you got on your lap?" I said, "Well, it's the Bible." He said, "Well, I think I'd open it up." And began to pray the precious holy word of Jesus. Now, after a time of scriptural praying yourself, it's good to do that out loud. My mother believed in praying the scriptures out loud because you hear the word of God, you're praying it, and we need the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. But after you've been doing some scriptural praying, just sit quietly and begin to love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I did that this morning. Begin to adore the Godhead. I tell you, dear friends, you could have come to that place of prayer deeply tired. You could have come frustrated. You could have come perhaps angry about something. When we ask the Holy Spirit to begin to love the Godhead through us, He lifts us into the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as we sit and just love Him with all of our heart, we love God the Father, we love God the Son, we love God the Holy Spirit. It's a cleansing thing. And here again, we're not preoccupied with self, but we're focused on Him. And I tell you what begins to happen with that. You see, all of these things are so exciting because they're embryonic. They're like a seed. And what we don't know is that that seed has great roots in the life of God. And it will unfold in the most marvelous way in the days, the weeks, the months, the years. And we just think, well, God, this can't get any better. This must be it right here. And then we find out that on another level, in another dimension, God has a whole nother understanding and revelation, if you will, that He wants to unfold. I'm telling you, we're sitting on a gold mine. I want to ask you if you're mining the gold mine. To love Him and adore Him. Now, I understand that often when we come to pray, we've got some terrible problem. Somebody's done something or we've done something, and we're very unhappy and we're unsettled. And We need to face that. And here again, my mother used to say, pray these things out loud. And I have done that through the years. I cannot tell you the number of times I've come upset about something, angry about something. And as I poured my heart out to God, as Psalm 62:8 says, pour your heart out to God. I poured it all out. I've been totally honest. Don't you love what Martin Luther said one time? Martin Luther said, don't try to fake it with God. It's totally futile. Oh, I love the place of prayer because I can be totally and completely honest. And I have poured my heart out so many times. I've repented and I've been willing to make restitution. I've made a ton of restitution in my lifetime. In our praying community, we're very careful about that. And Jesus said, if your brother has aught against you, you have aught against your brother. We are to go in the spirit of reconciling love. I really believe if Christians would start making restitution, we would have revival in America almost instantaneously. You see, when we're in the presence of the precious Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're emptied out, we're cleaned out. And I want to add one other thing in that being emptied out. Take full personal ownership for your part in any situation you're upset about. When I got my degree, I left Asbury because I needed more time to pray. And I did get a counseling degree. I'm no longer counseling, so I could pray, keep my mornings for prayer and my afternoons in trying to help people. And the head of the department was my advisor. And do you know what he said to me? He said, Margaret, I'm going to tell you something. We're in great danger in America because I'm afraid the American people can no longer face themselves. They always have to shame and blame someone else rather than saying, as David said when Nathan said, are you the man? And David said, I am the man. I want to plead with you, dear friends. Don't live in denial. Don't live in putting the blame always on someone else. Take full personal ownership of your part. I tell you, thank God for the mercy seat. Thank God for the daily prayer time where we can repent. And be careful if you think you don't need to. Be careful. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. That's the purpose of the daily time. We are so self-assertive. We're so self-aggrandizing. We're so self-possessed. Don't you get sick of yourself? I'm actually a very boring person in myself. There's a place for renewal. There's a place to pour it out. The great saints have said that Jeremiah 20, which is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, where Jeremiah says, God, you're bigger than I am and you've deceived me. He just says it like it is. If you haven't read that prayer in a while, you get it out. It's one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. The great saints have all said, including John Wesley and Martin Luther, that if we had been a fly on the wall and we'd heard the prayer of Jeremiah, we would have been stunned by the honesty of it. I want to ask you, would a fly on the wall be stunned at your honesty? Actually, only the Holy Spirit can empower us to face ourselves. And I understand if your pain is too great, you need to seek professional help. I understand that. But I'm urging you to be honest. The dear Lord knows it anyway. And he wants you to have the fullness of his life. Well, I don't know where that time went to, but we have a few minutes, and here's what we're going to do. I want you to put every thought out of your mind except your need for daily time with our wonderful, wonderful Lord, that He and you might become close friends. We're going to close our eyes. I want you to silently say, you say it in your own words, but here's the point. Oh, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, I want to know you experientially. I want to know you. I don't want to have other people telling me about you all the time. I want to know you myself. In my deepest personhood, I want to know you. Let's be very quiet. Will you pray that? Lord, precious, precious Jesus, you've heard these prayers from these beautiful, fine young people. I pray with all my heart that they will be first-hand Christians. They will know you first-hand, not third-hand, not tenth-hand. They're going to know you experientially themselves. That you might unfold your life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they might be filled with the fullness of God and be strengthened by might in the inner personhood by the Holy Spirit, that they might know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God and be filled with the fullness of God. And that they might know you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. In the precious name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you.